listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you this day from Jesus the Christ, who comes to us in peace. Amen. Sisters and brothers in Christ, don't you dare let Jesus off the hook. I don't care if you have been part of a Christian community for a long, long time, or if this is your first time ever in a church today. Don't you dare let Jesus off the hook. This Syrophoenician woman didn't let Jesus off the hook. Did you catch that? It was her first encounter, too, with Jesus. So it is never too early to say, "Hey, Jesus, you can't get away with that. Ask for what you want from God. Ask for what you want from God. Make sure it's the right thing to ask. And don't let Jesus off the hook, casting you aside like a dog. Don't imagine yourself unworthy of Christ's eyes and ears and healing hands." Did you hear that in the gospel reading that I just shared from the center aisle? Jesus called that woman from Syrophoenicia a dog when she came asking for help. Now that's bad nowadays. Sounds like he's saying, you know, "You bum, you're looking for a handout. Get out of here. You're looking, you're begging." It's a name that he's calling her, and name calling is a big deal now. We've got a president who is quick with the name calling, right? He's got a derogatory name for everybody. We've got a social statement that the adults here just started studying on women and justice that talks about some of this and the importance of name calling, both good names and bad names, and the impact that that can have. It is timely, actually, that we have this text. That wasn't planned, that we would start talking about the Women and Justice Social Statement at this time. Name-calling is a big deal today. But in that period, you need to understand that this wasn't just a mean name that he called her. This was a racial slur. Syrophoenicia was in the area up north by the Mediterranean Sea. It was not Jesus' home territory. So he was traveling out of his area. And it's modern-day Lebanon is where this area was. It's about 100, maybe 200 miles north. So that's like Philadelphia, right, from here, more or less. So let's just stretch a little bit and think about a woman from Philadelphia, a stinky woman who never went to church, cheers for the Phillies and the Eagles. Is your skin crawling a little bit? Can you imagine that she's got the nerve to ask our dear Jesus for a handout, and Jesus then calls her a dog? How do you deal with this? Jesus making cruel racial slurs. Does that mean it's okay? Biblical scholars, and it's interesting to read all the commentaries about this text, biblical scholars through the years have tried to soften this. They really have. Some have said, "Well, Jesus was just testing her." Interesting. Or, "Jesus was just kidding." But many scholars now are realizing that we cannot get around this terrible name-calling episode. The Reverend Dr. Anna Carter Florence of Columbia, she said that Jesus called a woman something that would have made his mama slap his mouth and say, "I did not raise my boy to talk that way." And she knew it too, that Syrophoenician woman. She knew. She was a mama herself. She knew that it was not an appropriate thing to say, and so she stood up. She stood up to Jesus and said, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table." She didn't let him off the hook. And it was as if something snapped in Christ. And he turned to her And instead of chastising her, imagine, if you have power over someone and they mouth off to you like that, instead of being a person of power over someone that talked back to you, instead of publicly shaming her or punishing her for her lack of respect, Jesus says, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter. The demon has left the next generation." What a story. What do we learn from this? And this account immediately after, where Jesus heals a man's tongue and pulls out his ears so that he can speak and that he can hear. What do we learn of God from all of this? First of all, we learn, don't let Jesus off the hook. Ask for what you want. Make sure it's the right thing. And then keep coming back. Jesus can take it. He can take your anger. He can take your standing up to him. He can take your assertiveness. In fact, Christ even admires it. And I should say, too, this text is not about emboldening bullies or racists, people that say terrible things. It's about empowering the downtrodden and those who have been pushed aside. It's not always pretty. Jesus employs a racial slur, and you should be furious at him for that. He could take it. And under our anger, always, always under our anger is hurt and fear. It's not always pretty. But in the end, sisters and brothers in Christ, God always responds, and there is healing. It's not always pretty, but in the end, God gathers us in, heals our hurts and our fears and our sins, and then, having been forgiven and transformed, we are sent back out to go and to do likewise, to heal the hurts and the pains of our neighbor, to forgive and love, and then do that again, forgive and love, and then forgive and love more and serve others. We emerge from this very challenging gospel text even stronger. We emerge from this very challenging place even stronger. And then there's this pesky letter from James. James today holds our feet to the fire and says, when someone comes into your church who's obviously down and out, poor, maybe smelly, maybe from Philadelphia. I don't know the area here yet, so I'm just trusting Philadelphians don't really get along with Washingtonians a little bit. Anyway, go with me on that. I don't mean to offend. Maybe someone comes into your space, maybe an outside group comes in, and you say, sit way over there, you dog. Versus when someone who drives a nice car, wears fancy jewelry and designer brands, smells very nice, has a nice wallet too, you say, come in, please. Come, sit on the front row, please. You want to teach our children? We'll even trust you to teach our children. Come, come. James, that pesky Lorax, I said last week about the Lorax, you know, the one who speaks for those who have no voice, that pesky James, he full on questions a person's belief in God if you treat people with distinction like that. When our words and our actions, when our faith and our works don't line up, James might just dismiss us. Like young adults many times. Young people, frankly, they look at the church, they say, well, they must not really believe in God the way that I see them treating each other and ignoring everybody else. Look at how they treat the outsider. That pesky Lorax James. He would have certainly held Jesus' feet to the fire. Upon hearing how Jesus himself first treated that woman. Sisters and brothers in Christ, these are challenging texts for challenging times. They go deep. And here's the good news. First, we get to hold Jesus' feet to the fire. Put the pressure on him. Ask Jesus for what you want. Ask Jesus for what you want for yourself, for your heart, for your mind, for your soul. Ask Jesus. Go ask. after him. Put the pressure on him. Ask Jesus for what you want for this nation, for this planet. Demand justice for women. Cry out for peace. Smart off to him for fair treatment of everyone, regardless of their gender or their nation of origin or their religious or political persuasion or any other hot button modern day dividers. And we have so many of them. Make sure you're asking Jesus for the right thing, but hold his feet to the fire. Shouldn't everyone get the same mercy and love and forgiveness and healing grace and welcome and treatment from God? A Syrophoenician woman sure thought so, and she demanded that from Christ. And Christ came through at the end. In the end, there is healing and there is grace. And Christ comes through for you today as well, sisters and brothers in Christ. The road might have been rocky up to this point. It's not always pretty, but God is here, reaching out to you, promising you the same things that the Syrophoenician Philadelphian woman demanded. God reaches out to you to this day with the hand of healing, forgives you this day, asks that you now go out and forgive in the same way and serve and welcome others with the kind of passion and commitment that we see in the scriptures. You know, the other thing that we see in the scriptures today, imperfect people, mouthy people, racist people, selfish people. We see broken people in the Bible, and this is good news too, because it means that God can take even us and turn us into forgiven, blessed healers and tellers of God's enduring love. God unstops our ears and opens our mouths to share this good news with so many others that need to hear it, that have never heard. Beloved, let us love one another, as Ephesians says. Let us love one another, for love is of God, and anyone who loves is born of God. So you are born of God. You are a child of God. Forgiven, healed, joyful, with your mouth open and ready to tell the good news. So go, you are free to tell this good word to everyone that you meet. May it be so this day and all our days. In Jesus' name, amen.
At Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day.
Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.